A wacky judge, a clueless defense attorney, and a bloodthirsty prosecutor. These are the characters we meet in the play One Fine Day in Inferior Court. The play was performed before a packed house this weekend at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. It was part of a program of plays written by prisoners. Alex Friedman is the author of One Fine Day in Inferior Court, and he's also the associate editor of Prison Legal News. We've reached him in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Alex.
Hi, I'm glad to be on the show.
Great. Well, we're glad you're here with us. So first off, congratulations on the successful reception of your play. I heard there were people standing in the aisles at the Kennedy Center.
Oh, it was a fairly packed little venue in there, yes.
Excellent. You wrote One Fine Day in Inferior Court while you were serving time in prison. Did you ever dream that it would be performed in a setting like the Kennedy Center?
No. Actually, it was kind of something I did for myself at the time and enjoyed writing it, but never really thought it would get much attention beyond my prison cell, frankly.
So what was it like to see these performers reading your play on the stage?
It was very humbling, particularly because my play was one of five other plays that were written by current or former prisoners, and the quality of their plays was excellent. So I was very happy to have my work showcased along with theirs.
And you were the only prisoner who wrote a play who was actually there to watch it in person?
I believe so. There might have been one other former prisoner whose play was performed also.
Well, that's very exciting. I wonder what this experience would have been like for those inside, just kind of wondering how the performance was going with their own plays. Do you have any sense of how the other playwrights were feeling about this?
No, but from my perspective, had I still been in, I would have had a great sense of pride that my work was deemed worthy to show to a broad audience who is interested in what prisoners have to write about and say about our justice system. There's an enormous amount of talent behind bars, and I think it's important members of the public realize the artistic resources that we currently have locked up with prisoners.
So I just wanted to talk about your play a little bit, One Fine Day in Inferior Court. It starts off with a defendant in court because he's been caught littering. Can you describe for us, for those that haven't seen it, what happens next?
The play was first, you have to realize it's a farce. It is kind of a satirical comment on how our justice system works or doesn't work, or taken to extremes, how it is. But in this case, yes, we have a defendant in court for littering with a defense attorney who really knows very little about the case and a very vengeful prosecutor. And the defendant pleads guilty to littering, and the judge proceeds to sentence him for littering as well as for first-degree murder, armed robbery, burglaries, and assaults, and a medley of other crimes.
And the defendant is completely in shock that this is all happening.
Taken aback, yes, but as the judge explains, you know, this new procedure has been put into effect to ensure that no crime goes unpunished and that defendants must be sentenced for all unsolved crimes that occurred during the previous week, and that has helped the police close all these open cases and has helped clear the court's docket and ensures that, you know, no crime goes unpunished.
And it doesn't help that the defendant has a completely useless defense lawyer.
Yes, he's completely clueless and has no idea, and he's eventually sentenced to life plus 120 years for littering plus all the other charges he did not commit, had nothing to do with whatsoever, but the government's decided that somebody has to pay for them, so he's going to be the one to pay.
Now, this is a farce, as you mentioned, or satire of what happens in a court, but you wrote this while serving time. How much was this play inspired by what happened in your own court case?
Just slightly. In my own case, I did plead guilty, but I committed the crimes for which I was charged, so I certainly had no truck with serving my time or being sentenced for the crimes that I committed. But my case also had some misconduct and had some corruption in it in the judicial level and with the attorneys and the incompetence of the players involved. So it spoke a little bit about my personal experience, but it was more kind of a broad commentary on how our justice system doesn't work.
In your own case, can you give us an example of the misconduct or problems that you had to deal with?
Just kind of a notion. My defense attorney was a public defender, and he was having an affair with my judge, who was married at the time. And she actually divorced her husband and married my public defender soon after I was sentenced. And he later became a prosecutor after resigning from the public defender's office. And through his efforts during my case, while he was sleeping with my judge, managed to get me probation on some rather serious charges that I probably should have at that time gone to prison for.
Wow, that's quite the assortment. Do you mind explaining maybe why you ended up going to prison?
I committed another crime after that, and my probation was then revoked, and the original sentence was put into effect. The notion I think I had at the time was that this is how the system really works. You can manipulate it. It's corrupt. You can basically get away with things and not have to pay the consequences. And so after getting probation on, again, very serious charges of armed robbery and assault, attempt to commit murder, I went back to committing additional crimes when I was caught the second time. And my sentence went into effect, however, that was a 20-year sentence, and it was very unforgiving, so there was no way around that. So then I began serving my sentence.
And ironically, or perhaps not, while you were serving your sentence, you became a really passionate advocate for human rights for prisoners and a watchdog on corruption in the prison system. What, I guess, was it about that prison experience for you that kind of made you such an advocate for to fight corruption and to set things right in society?
It's not so much corruption as that we have a very dysfunctional justice system that does not do what it purports to do. If our goal in the criminal justice system is to reduce crime by reducing recidivism and to reduce the number of people who are victimized by crime, then it's a dismal failure. It absolutely does not achieve any of those goals. In fact, it's entirely counterproductive. The U.S. justice system is almost designed to ensure that there's more crime and more victimization and higher recidivism rates by the nature of how we treat prisoners and how we treat crime and consequent punishment. If, however, you look at our justice system from the perspective of who's benefiting from it, who's making money from our criminal justice system, who's profiting from it, because we have a system that costs around $60 billion a year in the U.S. Is what we spend on corrections, then you can look at it as a success for those companies that benefit, for those politicians who benefit politically from it, and so on. So, of course, the benefits don't trickle down to the prisoners or really to the community, to the society. So from that perspective, and seeing it as a dismal failure, I became very actively involved in criminal justice reform to try to improve matters.
And you monitor these issues and this dysfunction within the system on a daily basis as an associate editor for Prison Legal News. What do you think needs to be done to address these issues in our court system and legal system?
Unfortunately, we don't have the 6 or 7 hours it would take to discuss some of the major changes that would need to be made. Our justice system is very wide and varied, so it ranges anywhere from the local jails to the state prisons to the federal prisons to juvenile facilities to immigration detention and so on, civil commitment. However, if you were going to look at perhaps the one philosophical issue that might alter our justice system to a greater extent to make it better, it would be to remove it completely from the political arena, to ensure that the laws that are passed and the way that politicians address criminal justice issues is not influenced by political considerations, which it vastly is right now. If you were looking at a more concrete way of improving our justice system, it would have to do with sentencing reform and to ensure that those people who go to prison are only those people who need to go to prison, and that alternatives to sentencing are available for those who would be better suited, particularly for things like drug and alcohol treatment and mental health treatment.
Can you give an example of who you think would actually benefit from going to prison?
We do have, having been in prison myself, you know, there are definitely people who need to be in prison, people who are sociopathic, who are psychopathic, who have extreme violence problems and basically will be acting out and will be committing crimes no matter what treatment programs that you might put them through. There are those individuals out there, and they would need to be the ones who are put in prison. People who need to be removed from society to protect society or to protect themselves. The vast majority of people we send to prison, though, are people who are in for drug offenses, for property crimes, for status offenses, for nonviolent offenses. So people who commit violent crimes in the U.S. are actually a minority. But we tend to use prison as a frontline approach. So we don't really think people are being punished unless we send them to prison, even though there might be a whole medley of other alternatives, victim-offender reconciliation projects, community work service, day fines, split confinement, a wide variety, everything from GPS monitoring and probation or intensive probation to community service and in or outpatient drug and alcohol treatment.
It's a pretty frustrating process, I'm sure, to kind of observe all the problems within the justice system from your point of view. You wrote this play as a satire or farce. How important is it for you to be able to find that comic relief when thinking about all the problems out there?
Well, I mean, often when you look at an issue that is pretty bad, you either have the options of laughing or crying, and I prefer to laugh.
I guess that's the way to survive, I guess.
Yeah, that's one way. There is a certain kind of irony in our justice system in that we have built up a huge system that does the exact opposite of what it's intended to do. So that's very sad, but it's also sadly ironic.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, there were several other playwrights and performers who had served time or are still serving time in prison,
right,
who had their plays performed on the stage the other day. Can you tell us a bit about the other shows that you saw?
Sure. There were some very, very well-done plays that brought together a wide variety of outlooks. And there were generally much more serious plays because criminal justice is, after all, a serious subject. But some of the plays included a very well-done piece on women on death row and kind of profiling and different women on death row and their experiences and how they live their lives. And I thought that was a very powerful piece that invoked the names of women who are currently on death row in the United States and how they exist or how they're living their daily lives, kind of excluded in a completely world of their own.
And I understand there was even a choir made up of people who'd sung together while inside prison.
Yes, that's Inside Voices, and they did a great job at harmonizing some of the musical pieces for the plays.
How important do you think it is for people on the outside to see these works that were created by prisoners?
I think it's very important. For one thing, it humanizes prisoners. People have this notion that out of sight, out of mind, when you put people in prison, you just don't think of them anymore. It's just very easy to demonize an entire group of people when you don't see them as people. And when people think about prisoners, they think about murderers and rapists and people who do very heinous, serious crimes. But our prisons are largely filled with low-level drug users and property offenders and really people who are, you know, your neighbors or will be your neighbors when they get out. So we need to keep in mind, you know, when we are passing draconian laws and very harsh sentencing regimes, we're going to be imposing them on people who are, you know, our brothers and our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our wives, our husbands, our families, our friends. And these are the people who are filling, you know, the prisons in the United States. We have 2.3 million people in prison. That's a huge number. But it's hard to grasp that number in terms of individuals and realizing that each one of these people is a person with a family and, you know, has a life of their own, and 95% of everyone in prison will one day be out. So I think it really helps to humanize that population by exposing members of the public to their writings, in this case their play scripts, and how they're perceiving their existence while they're inside.
How did writing this play help you personally while you to get through that time of serving time inside?
This was something that I just felt needed to be done. Again, people who don't experience our justice system firsthand have certain notions of it. You know, they have notions that trials are all fair and equal, and the jury gets to hear everything, and justice is blind or justice is fair. And people who have actually been through the system tend to have a different perspective on it. And so that's the perspective I wanted to convey in this piece.
And this event at the Kennedy Center was a fundraiser. How will it benefit prisoners and their families?
It was a fundraiser for the Safe Streets Foundation, which is a group that, among other things, promotes art in prison and provides a forum for incarcerated artists to distribute their work and to sell their work as a means of helping to support them.
That's great. And I understand that this, all the performances were actually recorded and will be put together in a DVD?
I believe that's correct, and although I'm not part of that because I'm not actually part of the Safe Streets Foundation that sponsored the event, more information on that is available online. I believe their website is prisons, that's prisons plural, foundation.org.
And Alex, any plans in the future to write another play?
Alas, I've been out of prison for almost 10 years now, and I found that my free time has vastly diminished and do not have time for creative writing.
That's too bad, because this was a great play. Very fun to read.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and good luck. Hope you do have time in the future to write another play.
Thank you.
Thanks. Alex Friedman is the author of a play called One Fine Day in Inferior Court, and he's also the associate editor of Prison Legal News. We spoke to him from Nashville, Tennessee, and his play and the rest of the performances from the Kennedy Center will be put together in a DVD, and that will be released at some point in the future, and you can find out more information later on from our website, which is prisonjustice.ca.